Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thanks, Scott Shannon, and glad you're with us. Toll-free, it's 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of the program, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. So much to be grateful for. Friends, family, the greatest country God gave man, although we have a lot of improvements to make in the days, weeks, years ahead, which we will eventually make. A lot of ground to get to today. I cannot believe two things have happened. One, Joe Gibbs, MBS in Saudi Arabia, immunity from prosecution, and all of a sudden now Saudi Arabia and OPEC plus nations, they're going to reconsider their decision of reducing the world's oil supply or production of the world's oil supply, and they may increase it, but that's not a quid pro quo. I'm sure no Democrat would ever agree with that analysis. We'll get to that. Also, Joe Biden now is allowing Chevron to expand energy operations in Venezuela. And by the way, this is on the heels of a new UN report detailing responsibility for crimes against humanity made by Maduro and his administration, and how citizens are being systematically murdered. He's a murdering dictator thug. And all Joe Biden, he only wants to get energy. He's against all domestic energy, except if he's getting it from a country that hates us. OPEC nations wanted to make the Iranian deal, emissaries to Venezuela. Now Chevron can start making more money for that dictator thug, you know, kissing MBS's ass. It makes no sense. We have more natural resources, energy resources than they do combined. And yet we look towards enemy countries, hostile regimes for the lifeblood of our economy, as Joe continues to go out there again and again and again saying that he does not want any more drilling, no more coal manufacturing. We'll get to that as time goes on. One thing I want to address, what do we have? A week from tomorrow is the Georgia runoff election. Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It would be great if Herschel Walker can win this race. Herschel Walker can win this race. He can, but he can also lose. Gee, Hannity, that's brilliant. Thanks for telling us. Well, but there's a point I want to make here. And that is, and we're seeing this now play out in almost every state. If you stand back and you look at the last election, and I thought people were very Pollyannish. I think there was an overexuberance that existed out there that did not meet the reality of what's gone on in the country, how voting has shifted and changed dramatically. And what happens is the Democrats have maximized this new voting system in ways that none of us could ever have dreamed of, whether a state allows ballot harvesting or doesn't allow ballot harvesting or taking advantage of drop boxes or in some cases, mailing ballots to every resident in the state, and Democrats going door to door and having people fill it out. It's having an impact. And I know Georgia made some progress and changed some of the laws. I thought they made a mistake with the drop boxes and signature verification, but that's my personal point of view. And here's the problem that Republicans have. They are reluctant and resistant and don't trust mail-in balloting, and they want to know for sure that their vote counts. They don't trust early voting either because they want to make sure that their vote counts. Democrats have put, you know, all of that to the side, and they're just racking up as many early votes as they possibly can, which is now giving them a decided advantage when it comes to a particular race. And if you want to look at, you know, I have a lot that I've thought of and a lot of conclusions that I have made about the 22 midterm elections. By the way, you can't minimize the fact that Republicans now are in control of the House. It is huge. And I will give you later on in the program 42 specific examples. The House Republicans have now requested testimony on the weaponization of the FBI and how we have, you know, politicized the FBI, weaponized the DOJ. And these are going to be real hearings on the origins of COVID-19. Fauci will have to testify. There will be, you know, real hearings on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and their foreign business dealings, which I think is going to be the biggest influence peddling scandal that the country has ever seen. And then they're going to show, and they'll be able to pass legislation. They won't get Joe to sign it, but they'll be able to pass legislation that would ensure the security of our border, that will refund the police in this country, that would end no bail laws, make us energy independent, so on and so forth. So they'll have a positive agenda as well that the media will never pay attention to. But back to Georgia for a second. If you look at the midterm elections, and I think Republicans, some of you are not going to like what I'm going to say, but I want you to really hear me out before you hate me. The first thing I've got to say is, if I had my way, this would not be the system of voting that I would choose. I would follow Canada. I would follow the French, believe it or not. I would follow Great Britain, Israel, you name it. I'd have same day voting. I'd make it a national holiday. You would require voter ID, signature verification, and you'd make exceptions for the military, for people that can apply if they're going to be out of the state or out of their precinct location because of work, whatever it happens to be. And they would be able to apply and get an absentee ballot. The sick, the infirm, they'd be able to do the same. Elderly, whoever happens to need it. And then I would have partisan observers. Any party on the ballot would be able to, in every precinct, watch the voting process take place, make sure it goes into the proper box. I would turn to paper ballots only. And then I would have those same people or other people, anybody on the ballot would have representatives watching up close the vote counting start to finish. And we'd all have the results at the end of the night, and people would have integrity in the system and confidence in the results. That's what we would want. That's not what you have in Georgia on December 6th. And it's not what you're going to have in November of 2024. So now you got two choices here. Either you're going to continue to allow the Democrats to have this advantage because they're exploiting every loophole that they themselves want, or you're going to start playing on the same field that they're playing on, which means that you're going to have to adapt, which means that you're going to have to accept this is not the system you want. It is not ever going to be the system you want if you continue to lose elections. And you've got to match whatever strategies they're using and start using them yourself, as long, obviously, as it's legal. And that means that for Republicans that are reluctant and resistant to mail-in ballots or early voting, you're going to have to get over it. Because if you don't get over it, you're given a massive advantage to the Democrats. For example, I think before the Fetterman-Oz debate, I think there were close to 700,000 ballots already cast in Pennsylvania, and nobody knew a thing about John Fetterman. And that means that Oz had that many more votes to make up come election day. And with that kind of deficit, it becomes impossible. The fact that he got so close and the fact that he got double-digit ballot splitting where they voted for a Democrat for governor but then switched over to a Republican for Senate was amazing. I think Republicans have to be careful. Mastriano, I liked him. He's a nice guy, but no exceptions on abortion for rape, incest, the mother's life. Politically speaking, that's never going to fly, in my opinion. I'm giving you political analysis here. So I'm saying this to the people of Georgia because this is an important race. It definitely would be winnable. But if Republicans in Georgia are apathetic and you're unwilling to adapt to what the current law is in the hopes that one day you might be able to strengthen it, make it better, then you're setting yourself up for bad news on December 6th. And I'm just giving you, you know, the pure facts here. I mean, you got a guy, Raphael Warnock. Republicans were shoving microphones in the face of every Republican that they can find. Most Democrats got away with hiding in their basement bunkers. You know, look at Katie Hobbs out in Arizona. Look at John Fetterman in Arizona, in Pennsylvania. Gretchen Whitmer was nowhere to be found in Michigan. You know, this is the current system. Hopefully we'll get to the system that is the most fair, with the most integrity, where people will have the most confidence in the results, because I can't think of a fairer one that I just mentioned. Democrats don't even want voter ID. They don't want signature verification. They like this current system because they clearly have figured out how to exploit it, while Republicans just, you know, outright kind of reject it, and that's not working. So I think that's part of things. So voting has changed. I believe that my analysis of accelerated migration is very real, where people, you know, baby boomer age retirement, you know, accelerated by COVID and lockdowns and shutdowns, people that wanted their kids to have in-person learning, you know, they just packed their bags, and people that would otherwise vote Republican are moving to the Carolinas and Tennessee and Texas and Florida, et cetera. Anyway, so there's a lot here to unpack here. But for the short term, meaning the next week and a half, if you're in Georgia, you really only have one option. And that is that you're going to have to work with the system you have, not the one that you wish you had. Or the, you know, it's like fighting a war. You don't fight with the army you wish you had. You have an army. You fight with the army you have. You fight with the rules that are in place now, with the hopes that one day you can get enough power to be able to change it, make it more fair, and put more integrity in the system. It's that simple. You know, the fact that Raphael Warnock, you know, is in this race, to me, is mind-numbing. He's that much of a radical. America needs to repent of its whiteness. You can't serve God in the military. This guy is the head of one of the, historically, one of the biggest churches in the country, Ebenezer Baptist. And that was Martin Luther King Jr.'s church. And, you know, well, abortion should be between the doctor and the patient. What, up to the last minute before somebody's about to give birth, you're going to support an abortion? That would be infanticide. Of course, he wants to pack the courts. He wants to end the legislative filibuster. Calls and refers to cops as thugs and dictators. He hit the trifecta of praising even the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, Louis Farrakhan, Fidel Castro. It really shouldn't be a race. You know, and then, of course, he has his own personal issues. You know, his wife accused him of using an automobile as a weapon during a domestic dispute, and on camera said that he ran over her foot, and what a phony he is. And nobody seemed to pay attention. He got arrested for obstruction of justice in the case of a camp that he was running where child abuse claims were being made. In five cases, they found, in fact, to varying degrees, some degree of child abuse did occur. You know, he said about the GD America tirade of Jeremiah Wright. Oh, it was a very fine sermon, a very fine sermon. No, 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 not God Bless America, GD America. I don't think that represents the values of the people of Georgia. So that's my that is my message to Georgia. It is not what you want to hear. It is the reality, though. And I'm very reality based. I did not get out over my skis like so many other people calling this, oh, this is going to be a red wave. I said there was the potential for it. But knowing that voting has changed, seeing this accelerated migration, I don't think a lot of people factored all of that in. And when Newt Gingrich and somebody as smart as him says, I got to now rethink every model I've ever understood my entire adult life in terms of elections and voting, that ought to tell you you have to rethink it as well, especially if you're in Georgia. And don't believe that you can't win, because you can, because early voting just started. But you've got to play on the same, you know, you got to be on the same field of play as the Democrats. They now, you can pretty much expect that they have mastered this current system. Republicans got to match them vote for vote and then some.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films, and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films, and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. Anyway, so they have a week-long early voting in Georgia. That is now happening. And I know I'm trying to convince people in Georgia that this is important, and maybe you are part of that group that has this reluctance and this resistance towards voting by mail, voting early, whatever. That's not what the Democrats are doing. And I don't know who's in charge. I have no idea who's running this race. I don't know. But if you don't play on the same field, you're going to lose. And you can win it, but you can lose it too if you continue to reject the system the Democrats, you know, keep using. I mean, it's at this point now, it's just becoming a self-fulfilling defeat because they've taken this system, they're running with it. By the way, there was an opinion on Red State, quote, busted, recording shows Warnock campaign calling out-of-state residents for votes. You know, this is why the conditions that I say are so necessary. You need voter ID, signature verification, chain of custody managed properly, meaning every ballot that shows up that comes by mail needs to be on camera, available for the public to watch until they finally count the votes. Updated voter rolls, and then partisan observers observing the voting and the vote counting up close and personal and start to finish. I mean, these are simple, basic, fundamental things. Ask yourself, why don't Democrats want these integrity measures like voter ID adopted? You want to go visit your congressman, your senator at the Capitol? Good luck getting in without a voter ID. You want to go to a Democratic National Convention? Good luck getting in without a picture ID. If you want to buy a pack of cigarettes, if you smoke or a Juul pod or a beer or a bottle of wine or a bottle of vodka, good luck if you don't have some picture ID.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
On 25 to the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. All right, we're going to break format a hair here because people in Georgia are calling in. I want to hear what they have to say about now that early voting has started for a week there. Amy is in Georgia. Amy, how are you? Glad you called. What part of Georgia are you from?
Hi, Sean. I'm in Liberty County. It's a small county right along the coast. And I'm on a military base. I'm on Fort Stewart. But I vote, you know, in Liberty County. And I went this morning, like 8 o'clock, and it was packed. There was no place to sit. I was, you know, I got in and out 15 minutes. It takes very little effort to go and vote and make your voice heard. And Herschel Walker needs that. I don't know if they voted Democrat or Republican. I don't know. But it was really busy.
Look, if I had to predict, only because of the system of voting, I would say you have a slight advantage, Warnock. In terms of the person to person, there's no contest. I would vote for Herschel Walker, and if I had to wait 15 hours online, I'd be there. And for Republicans that have been reluctant and resistant because of the new law system, they did make improvements to it. I'll give the governor credit for that. The governor, I give him credit for supporting Herschel. I wish he supported him more during the general election, but I'll take what I can get. But I think that people in Georgia, conservatives, Republicans in Georgia, you've got to accept the system you currently have. Unless and until you can change it, this is what you got. And it's either that or you let this lunatic in the Senate for 6 years. That's your choice.
Right, exactly. And I know how important it was, which is why I went and voted. And it was very secure. I felt my vote counted. So I had no problems.
Democrats have a get out the vote operation in Georgia, second to none. They're good at this. Republicans are going to have to enthusiastically outmatch them. Thanks, Amy. Warren in Georgia. Warren, where are you in Georgia?
Calling from Columbus, Georgia, Sean.
Columbus, great place. A lot of friends there. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I just want to say that I voted earlier today. The line was not too long. It took longer to walk from the parking lot in and get registered than it did to vote. There's only one item on the ballot.
Yep.
I'd encourage all my Georgians, conservative Democrats, independents, Republicans of all natures to go out and vote for Herschel. It's massively important.
I agree with you completely. That's actually good news. Now, do you have to show an ID?
Oh, absolutely. You have to, in-person ID, it's not that difficult.
It's not hard at all. In New York, when I voted in this last election, I don't have to show an ID.
Well, I think that's almost criminal to me. I think everyone should show an ID and prove that you're a legal voter. It's not that hard.
Look, Georgia could be the beginning of hopefully a change in mindset. And there are some people that are listening to me. Linda, you know that there are people mad that I'm telling them that to work the system that they got. But that's their only choice. It's either that or stay home. It's either that or elect Warnock. That's the only choice you have. And I'd rather at least get in the game and get on the field and give it our best shot.
100% agree.
And then look in the mirror, you know, when all said and done, and say, look, I would say this to Georgia, too, and I think this is very important, is I really believe that there's a chance that Manchin might flip. And I'll tell you why. When Manchin was fighting Biden and Schumer over this, you know, build back broke, you know, and the, what was it, the Inflation Reduction Act and all this stuff, remember, he fought it, and his approval rating at home in West Virginia was 70%. People were applauding at West Virginia. West Virginia is a red state. It is not a blue state. And I even talked to Manchin at one point during that. It was a confidential call. I won't reveal it. But he said something to me. He goes, I got a lot of Hannity voters in West Virginia, you know, which was pretty funny. And anyway, so then all of a sudden he goes along with the Inflation Reduction Act. And he was given a promise by Schumer and by Biden for a pipeline that would benefit his state's energy industry. And then after he gave in and he went their way, and I call it the Tax the Poor, Middle Class, and People on Fixed Income Act instead of the Inflation Reduction Act, he never got the pipeline and then was told he's never getting the pipeline. And then the comments that Joe Biden made just before November 8th about coal, followed up by, you know, comments that were insane about not drilling. I have the drilling one, so I'm not sure if I have the coal comments, but here's what Biden said about coal. I'm sorry, about oil, when he said there'll be no more drilling.
No more drilling. There is no more drilling. I haven't formed any new drilling. No,
landing over the Pacific, but in the Antarctic and off the Gulf of New Mexico, or off the Gulf of Mexico.
That was before I was president. We're trying to work on that, get that done.
Get that done. Eliminate drilling. Now, this is the guy that is now in business making a murdering dictator thug rich again by allowing Chevron to expand their energy operations in Venezuela. I mean, and this is the guy that just gave immunity to the person he said killed journalist Jamal Khashoggi because he wants their oil. The only thing that Joe Biden is against is domestic energy production. It's okay to make Iran rich and Russia rich and OPEC plus nations rich and the Saudis rich and the Venezuelans rich, but we're not going to make America rich and we'll sacrifice on national security on top of it all. But this is what really ticked off Manchin.
No one's building new coal plants because they can't rely on it. Even if they have all the coal guaranteed for the rest of the existence of the plant. So it's going to become a wind generation. And all they're doing is you're going to save them a hell of a lot of money, and they're using the same transmission line that transmitted the coal-fired electric on. We're going to be shutting these plants down all across America.
He basically, what he just said to Joe Manchin is, we're going to ruin the state economy in the state of West Virginia. So can I predict with any certainty? No. But the only reason that that would be meaningful is if Herschel wins over Warnock. So, I mean, at least we'd be in the game. And I think a pretty appealing case could be made to Joe Manchin. Now his approval rating, and he's up for re-election in 2 years, is in the 30s. People got really angry that he went along, got bamboozled by Schumer and Biden, got nothing for it, and ended up hurting the people and the economy. And then Joe goes even further, saying he's going to eliminate coal, basically, and eliminate all energy. I mean, it's this to me is all madness. This is crazy. I mean, the U.S. now allowing Chevron, he's going to take a dictator that's on his heels, you know, about to be dethroned at some point here because the conditions are ripe because the people are so impoverished. It's nuts. We'll get to this later in the show, but there's something going on in Iran. You've got uprisings left and right. There was a woman put in prison and died in prison because of the repressive, you know, Sharia laws that they have with the mullahs in Iran. You have Vladimir Putin scared to death that one of his top deputies or generals is going to kill him. So he's like in hiding and going all over the place. My understanding is some people believe that he has a lot of body doubles out there now. I can't confirm that at all, but it's an interesting theory. And but it's not going well. But the people of Russia are furious with him, as he's now started a draft and consigning people to go fight this war that has not gone well in Ukraine. And the people of Russia don't want the war. And so I had been talking a lot about this axis of evil, this new axis of evil, which is Russia, the communist Chinese, and Iran. And they've all partnered together, and they're all having civil unrest. Out in China, you got stunning protests because of these draconian COVID lockdowns, which we'll get into at the top of the next hour, but they've now turned violent. So all three countries now are engaged in civil unrest. And what is Joe doing? Trying to make them all rich. How do you explain to me? Somebody gotta explain this to me. Why it's okay to take in, you know, produce a barrel of oil in Venezuela and make them rich, and we pay a premium price for it when we have our own oil to meet our own needs right here. You know, why would we ever, you know, give a pipeline waiver to Vladimir Putin while closing off pipelines in this country? It benefits national security. It creates high-paying career jobs. It'll lower the price at the pump for both gas and diesel. It'll help reduce the 40-year high of inflation. Everything we buy at every store we go to would be reduced. It's absolutely insane. All right, so those are the top stories we're watching. I find these pretty unbelievable times. According to every report that is out there over the Thanksgiving holiday, many Democrats have been bracing for a year-end reckoning as to whether or not Biden, you know, who declared himself a bridge to a new generation, would give way to a new 2024 standard bearer. Apparently, that's not happening. Apparently, Joe Biden looks like is mulling a decision over whether he's going to seek a second term. And from every source that I'm reading, and I would assume there's got to be something to this, can't say with certainty on that either. But anyway, in recent days, you have officials like Henry Cuellar, one of the most conservative House Democrats. You have squad members, even the head of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, have said they would support Joe Biden for another bid. I'll tell you why they all seem to like him, because they'll do it. He's not running the show anyway. So from their perspective is, you know, they're getting everything they want out of their president. Biden's climate crackdown now expected to cost small businesses hundreds of billions of dollars. This was in the Washington Times. Small businesses could be shut out of lucrative government contracts because of massive compliance costs imposed under a proposed Biden administration rule that would require large federal contractors to reduce and publicly disclose their greenhouse gas emissions. The proposed rule would make the U.S. the first national government to require major federal contractors to set climate goals in line with the 2015 Paris Agreement that he signed back onto. The compliance costs. Think about this if you're a small business owner. It has an estimate that the federal contracting industry would have to incur $604 billion just to implement the cost in the first year and a little more than $442 billion annually after that. I mean, why don't we just say we're closed for any business in America? We're going to import everything. You can't compete in a world economy with that type of disadvantage that you're throwing on yourself. One interesting side note is Kamala Harris's chief legal advisor, who's been with her 5 years, is now leaving. And this is as the Republicans now are heading into power. The House Republicans, Epoch Times broke this down pretty succinctly today. At least 42 Biden administration officials were now sent letters by Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee this month requesting testimony from a variety of White House officials. The letters primarily deal with the suspected how the FBI has been politicized and the Department of Justice weaponized. Now you have these simultaneous investigations that'll be going on. One, Jim Jordan, the Judiciary Committee, will be looking into the FBI and the DOJ, while simultaneously you've got Congressman Comer's committee will be looking into the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden mess, or as he says, this is an investigation into President Joe Biden. This is why winning the House was one of the many reasons why it was so critical for Republicans. Margin doesn't matter. Being in the majority, that matters. Nobody seems to be aware of where this battle for speaker is headed. Kevin McCarthy would need 218 votes. He has a little over 180 as of now. At some point, my advice to Republicans is you're going to have to realize that any four or five of you have the power to muddy up the waters. And if you don't pull in the same direction, it's not going to work. So I think that Republicans at some point better realize that they got to work together. The two things that they need to do are very clear. One, follow through on their commitments to America. Those are promises you made for an agenda that'll get our economy going, secure our borders, bring back energy independence, bring back law and order and safety and security, eliminate no bail laws, put all these things in place so that you can show the American people if you make a promise, you're going to keep it. And then the second thing is the power of the purse. You're going to have to be willing to use that and be accused of shutting down the government if that means the Democrats are going to be spending recklessly on this new Green Deal socialist agenda that they have. You're going to have to show you're willing to put your power on the line. And then the second thing is the power of subpoena, which is what Jim Jordan and Congressman Comer are talking about. You've got entire groups now standing by, ready to smear, slander, besmirch, attack anybody that's involved in these investigations. But the reality is Joe Biden, never going to be able to overcome this, lied to the American people when he said he had no knowledge of Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings. He was intimately involved. That means that would be called pay to play, influence peddling. You pick your term. How far this goes, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. We'll talk about what's going on in China, what investigations will be coming into the origins of COVID-19 when we get back.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.